The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Everybody.
Hey.
Bob, Bill.
Aaron.
Bob, Aaron.
All right.
Patrick.
Today it's finally here. It's March 1st. And we have the National Town Hall on Technocracy, finally, with Patrick Wood. So in case I posted something confusing on the website, if you're listening online, listen online. That's how you do it. Or listen on the radio. If you want to call in with a question, I posted that phone number. Unfortunately, the way I worded it, it sort of looked like you had to call the phone number to hear the show. That's sort of wrong.
We would love to do that, but we only have two lines.
Yeah. We don't have to do that. So we don't want to make everybody have to call in to listen. So if you click on the chat room, my guess is you already know this, but if you click on the chat room, just below that is the sound bar. The chat room and the sound are separate. So anyway, if somebody's having trouble in the chat room and you guys see somebody who can't get sound, it's just below where you click on the chat. Okay. So for those who are listening on the radio, the rest of us are all online at wethepeopleradio.us, and that's where all your information is. Phone number again is 530-605-4567. And okay, this is a special show. We set this up quite a few weeks ago. If you just tuned in and you have no idea what we're doing, we do all sorts of programs on all sorts of topics. And our goal is to do things that the mainstream media pretty much would never do. And so that you can listen to people that you typically only hear in tiny sound bites. This particular show is all about technocracy. The book that kicked this off is Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood. And the reason we did this, he put out a challenge to people and said, okay, if you guys will all read the book, because it's really important.
It's an amazing book.
Yeah, and even if you think you already know all the stuff, you got to read the book, really. Do yourself a favor and don't be a know-it-all, okay, like me. Because a lot of times I hear like,
thanks, Aaron.
I hear like, you know, Agenda 21 and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, I already know that. This book will give you a very different, good, but different perspective and really broaden your horizons. So if you haven't read it yet, it's never too late. Just, you know, the order thing is all on the website and stuff. But we're asking that the people who call in, be people who have read the book. So that we don't have to keep starting from scratch. This is sort of a, what can we do about the issue? How can we move the ball down the field? And Patrick's really looking for ideas from the rest of the big world. And I think he has something by his microphone that's making funny noises.
Like his hand.
There's some weird noise coming out of your microphone, Patrick.
I think the dog got a hold of it.
Something's going on. But anyway, so there's kind of all our preliminaries. We'll try not to repeat that a whole lot. We're cutting our commercial breaks to the half hours so that we can get the most people in as possible. So Patrick had a kind of an opening thing. That's all the stuff I remembered. So your job is to remember all the stuff I forgot.
This is great. I thank you guys for doing this. I seem to have an echo here.
Yeah, you do. Something funky going on. You're kind of going in and out a little bit.
Something funky. Funky, funky.
It's actually kind of funny. Kind of funny in an, oh my gosh, we're wasting time sort of way.
It is, I know.
After all this planning.
I know. This technical stuff just goes crazy. Now the echo went away. Some sharp engineer took care of it. Thank you.
That is much better. You sound
We're in business. Let me just make this opening statement so it just kind of set the tone for all of this. And the 1938 publication called The Technocrat, believe it or not, that was a magazine. They said, quote, and definition, this is definition of technocracy from them, quote, technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism, to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population, close quote. Technocracy's master strategy is seen in Agenda 21, sustainable development, smart growth, wildlands projects, smart grid, urban planning, Common Core educational standards, global warming, climate change, cap and trade, and a whole lot of other things too. All of these have been created or enabled by members and friends of the elite Trilateral Commission that was established in 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. And the clear documentation for these claims is found in my book, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. So you have to get it to see my documentation for that. Our purpose in this National Town Hall on Technocracy is to discuss ways to permanently reject technocracy and restore our constitutional republic. Since Congress has been effectively nullified by the executive branch, it is up to us, we the people, to rise up across America and take back our communities, counties, and states and rid them of this pernicious technocracy ideology and its destructive practices. This task won't be easy, but building and defending America has never been easy. Doing nothing will produce an outcome that is far worse, and America will be destroyed forever. It's hard to believe that the real enemies of America are actually embedded in our own government, but true Americans have overcome monstrous obstacles for the last 250 years, and yes, I believe we can do it again, and indeed we must. And with that, we need to specifically thank Aaron Ryan and Bill Kunda for hosting this National Town Hall on Technocracy, and certainly KCNR Radio for providing the facilities and accommodations to help maximize our discussion time. And with that, Aaron and Bill, back to you.
Well, you know, I was just posting on the site. One of the things that's been fascinating about this is how people find out about it, where they are, and who's paying attention. You know, who's paying attention to this issue? And most people, I think most of us would agree that the idea of RSVP to events and things like that is kind of dead. I mean, I think we used to do it a long time ago, but a lot of people don't anymore. They're like, yeah, they just show up. Interestingly enough, you had told me at last count there were over 200 people who had actually RSVP'd for today. And they come from I'm looking at the little list you sent me, Arkansas, Arizona, California, lots of cities in these different places, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Maine, here we go, Michigan, New Mexico, New York, Oregon. We just, you know, Pennsylvania, you had some people in Canada, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Wyoming. There are folks all over the country who know about this. And I guess it kind of makes me happy that, you know, people are paying attention and it isn't just the people in one state. You know, it isn't just West Coast people. It isn't just city people. These are big towns, little towns.
Well, it's almost like we've reached a tipping point. People are starting to pay attention, and now they want some answers.
Yeah.
And they want to know what they can do.
What do we do? Mm-hmm. So if anybody, let's see. So for the people who'd like to weigh in today, I guess I'd have to look at the chat room to know if you were putting in information. Are you watching the chat room, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, that's your job. Watch the chat room. We'll leave Bob on phones, Bill on chat. You can email if you can't make the chat room work or you don't know how to do it or you don't like it or whatever. You can email Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us. And I'll monitor the email. That's the thing I forgot to say at the beginning. We're going to have chat, email, phone. Yes. So phone is 530-605-4567. And so Patrick, go give people an idea of what you see by way of solution, because I know back in the day you outlined that nicely in your book that when the technocrats really were getting a leg up on everybody, they overreached and they got all these dorky uniforms and it scared people in the 1930s.
It really did scare them. They, in fact, in Canada, Technocracy Inc. was outlawed for about 2 years because they were viewed as a subversive organization. That doesn't mean that they really were, but they were perceived to be that way, and it got them in a lot of trouble in Canada. And the American people got that idea, too. And, you know, we don't want any part of this. We're fighting Adolf Hitler over in Germany, and, you know, we don't want that kind of influence here. And that pretty much, you know, that really helped push them over the edge. But there were other reasons as well that Americans rejected technocracy back then. We don't need to go into all that, but the point of this meeting today is to pick the minds now of people who have read the book, digested the information in it, you know, like sifted it, thought about it, said, okay, now I see the enemy, and here's what we can do about it. And the big problem, the reason we haven't been successful in the last 30, 40 years is because I believe we have not known who the real enemy is. We have not seen the real enemy, and you cannot defeat an enemy you do not know. And so my hope, if nothing else, is to identify who the real enemy is, and I still have faith that there are Americans, intelligent Americans out there, who are still able to think and reason and come up with good creative ideas, who can devise some things that will help everyone push back against technocracy. And this is what, these are the people we need to hear from, Aaron. And this, you know, the people that are the early readers of the book, they seem to get it. I mean, they're really getting it. There's 24 reviews on Amazon already in 6 weeks. We haven't sold that many books, like not thousands and thousands, but there's 24 reviews on Amazon. Every single one, Aaron, is a 5-star review.
Nice.
That's very unusual. And so people are saying, this is, if you only read one book this year, this is it. You know, this is a must-read book. This is the book of the decade. I mean, some stuff is kind of crazy, but I don't say that for me. I just say that, look, people are recognizing that this is critical information. They're seeing the enemy for the real enemy for the first time with all this stuff. And now they need to devise a plan. Okay, guys, you've identified the enemy. What are you going to do about him? How are you going to get to him? How are you going to disable him? That's the point.
We have, let's see. It's funny. Twisted Politics in here says, oops. How do I get this thing from scrolling every time I go to click on it? Hold on here. I'm gonna put the chat in a little box here so I can read you the questions. We've got a few. People want to know, like, there's somebody in here that lives in the Silicon Valley, and they said everybody's getting paid really well to use all of this technology. And how do they get them, you know, kind of out of their little mindset there?
Yeah. Well, certainly one-on-one. There's no other way to do it. If they won't seek information on their own, somebody needs to get to those people one at a time, sit them down and educate them and tell them, show them what's going on. That's all there is to it.
Okay. And then, somebody else put in here, the most important one is taking the other person's naivete for granted. It's true. You know, we can't assume that people will figure this out. There was a guy, Debbie had sent you comments from that guy. He was anti-Agenda 21, anti-land trust and all that, but a huge fan of technocracy. How confusing is that?
That's what people call the Hegelian dialectic, taking two completely opposite positions and agreeing with both.
But you know, crazy
wrong.
Well, the crazy part is he had a card. Debbie saw it in his wallet.
Right.
He had a technocracy card with the little yin and yang symbol. He was literally a card-carrying member.
Yes. We need to distinguish between that type of technocrat, by the way, who there still are some around, and the type of technocrat that is embedded in our government that's suffocating us to death with this Agenda 21 sustainable development stuff. The early technocrats were not very happy when I told them that their whole movement had been hijacked by the Trilateral Commission. It didn't go well. What do you mean it's been hijacked? And I had long discussion with some of the custodians of what remains of Technocracy Inc. And they just completely rejected my thinking. No, nobody's, you know, they can't do that. You know, nobody's done that. And I said, well, you're not paying attention to what's going on currently. And the Trilateral Commission types have never had an original idea in their life, as far as I'm concerned. And everything they've done is stolen from somebody else. And this is especially true with technocracy. Technocracy from the 1930s is what they have picked up and what they're implementing today. It's unmistakable, absolutely, positively unmistakable. So I'm hoping that I'm hoping some people are getting ready to dial the phone right now. I'm dying to hear from them.
I know they're writing. They're writing instead of calling.
They're writing. Okay, but I pick up the phone and call. I get the number. What's the number, by the way?
It's a 530-605-4567. So,
I know there's people out there that have questions.
He wants to hear your voices. Because I messed up somebody's comment before. I only read the last part. The first part actually made more sense when you put it together. It said, aside from what you can do and are doing online right now, that is organizing legal action groups and spreading awareness, one thing is for sure. The technocrats might think and act as if they were demigods, but they're not. They're also human and make mistakes, and the most important one is taking the other person's naivete for granted. And I think that's true. They think we're never going to figure it out. Oh, but we are. Oh, and the phone's ringing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Give me your name one more time, please.
It's okay, Bob. We'll just learn about it when we...
Jeremy, okay. We have
Jeremy on the line. He's going to read you another one. Oh, NGOs, we need to get rid of EPA, Department of Energy, FERC, and the American Red Cross. FERC is a doomsdayer. They're messing up all our dams out here. So we have Jeremy on one and
From Redwood City.
And then we'll learn about whoever the other person is. Hey, Jeremy. Ruh-roh. Jeremy, are you with us?
There he is.
Oh, we had to flip a different button. Hey, fire away, yeah. Jeremy.
Yeah, so I obviously read Patrick's book, and one of the parts that really interests me are the solutions and actions we can take at the local level. I'd like to hear a little bit more about some of the things that we can do, you know, that don't require a lot of money, but, you know, maybe we can work collectively or something. But I'm new to this, but I definitely want to take serious action. And locally, I know that ECLE is active in Redwood City and in some of the cities around me. I know that actually it was fought in San Carlos with Rosa Corey. But I want to, you know, try to do something to help, stop, Agenda 21, to stop this, you know, technocracy. But I'm in the heart of the Silicon Valley, and everybody is getting paid so well to build all these, technology platforms that, such as Google, that the government is using, you know, to build their platforms. So, I'm overwhelmed.
Patrick?
And I presume that you've read the book?
Yep, that's what he's
saying. Absolutely. I bought 10 of them. I sent them to a bunch of people, including congresswomen in the area.
Good job. Well, you know, people have told me repeatedly that the answer is going to be working locally rather than trying to work, you know, on a national basis. And I think
right.
This is good advice, good thinking. We've got to get the people in our communities, you know, we need to be the ones who attend the city council meetings, the school board meetings, the planning and zoning commission meetings. We need to hold these people accountable right on the spot, and we can get to them. You can't get to somebody in the federal government. You just don't know who they are, but you can get to people in your own community. And for every community that we clean up anywhere in the country, we're sending a message up the food chain that this ain't going to fly with the people.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I think I probably need to connect with other like-minded people in my area to try to put together action plans and actually get in front of, you know, city council or whoever to present that.
Great idea. Why don't you start with the book club, you know, where you get together for a couple of weeks, get a common grounding. Get your documentation together, make an action plan, and go out and do it.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, we need something equivalent to, you know, like the Navy SEALs here, I think, you know. we just don't need an army of foot soldiers that just kind of overrun a position or something. We need to have people who are really strategically prepared to go out and do battle, so to speak. I say that figuratively, please don't misunderstand me. But, you know, people need to go out with a very clear understanding of what they're doing. They got to have the ammunition in their hands when they go and confront these people, so they can't shame them down. That's what they do. Yeah. That's what they've done.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for the call. We've got another call on line two. Shirley from Ridgecrest has a question for you. Shirley, you there?
Yes, this is Shirley.
Go ahead with your question.
It's a question, a statement. My feelings is that it's a youth that seem to be driving what's going on, and much of it is in the church. And I think that the awareness should be the answer, because if we get to the youth, I'm talking the 20s and 30s group, because I see a lot of them very zealous and ambitious, but in going in the wrong direction, thinking that they are doing good.
Well, that's a good point. So, you know, one of the things I hear a lot is we need to get the youth more involved, and what you're saying is a lot of the youth are involved on the wrong side of the board.
Well, you see it even in our local town. There's a Habitat for Humanity, which is, you know all about that. You know, read it in the book. But, you know, they're cleaning up the community, and it really sounds good. So it's hard to convince these young people that, you know, they're actually community building for the wrong cause. We have a local church here, lovely people, but it's a Willow Creek Association. So you know where that direction's coming from. So they're building the community focused off of true mission of the church. But they think they're doing good, and their friends are involved, and it's what's driving most communities, I believe.
What do you think about that, Patrick?
Well, it is a fact that the people that have trickled all of this stuff down from the top have done a number on two types of churches. One, the ecumenical type of church, represented by the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches. All of those big churches have gone green. They've tumbled willingly into sustainable development, and they're backing it to the hilt. The evangelical church has also been affected, unfortunately, and in a slightly different way, but they've been nullified and desensitized to the whole issue. And so, by and large, either they embrace it or they refuse to do anything to oppose it as well. And it's very difficult sometimes to talk to church people like pastors and elders and stuff like that, about how their positions are wrong on these things and what they need to do to correct it, because some of them just don't take correction very well, I'm sad to say. But it's a good point. We need to be concerned with our churches right alongside of our cities and towns and counties, and spend as much time with them, if necessary, if they're off base, to correct them as well.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Shirley. We've got Alex on the line.
Yes.
From Atlanta. He has a question and a comment. Alex?
Uh-oh.
We got
something.
Alex?
Bad happened to Alex?
No, I'm here. I was getting rid of the other stream, so I have an echo. I just got rid of it.
Okay, go ahead.
Cool.
Well, Patrick, this question is, comment is for Patrick. Patrick, I'm that Alex guy from Atlanta that had you sign my book.
That Alex guy.
How are you?
Good.
How are you? I'm a long time reader of Patrick Wood's books, that particularly the ones he co-authored with the late Anthony Sutton, the late great Anthony Sutton, I might add. And so I was wondering if it'd be okay if I started with a comment and then ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, my first comment is, it's an observation, is from after reading your book, it struck me again that you know, the folks that have pushed for technocracy and the elites, and there's various words from statist elites, have worked in the long range. They've worked over many generations to participate. They've actually participated and engaged the society they want to change, and have done so, you know, at the cultural level. They've done so incrementally. They've done so very patiently. And I think that's one of the things that I think that everybody reading the book needs to understand, is you've got to have the patience to elbow your way into the organizations that they're using to develop and implement these blueprints. We can't be non-participants. We can't be the kind of population that goes away in a huff and is angry and say, well, I don't want to be a part of this. On the contrary, you need to run for city council. You need to run
Yes.
for mayor. You need to run for sheriff. You need to be the technocracy, the technocrat. And so what I mean by that is, if the technocrat has gone out of their way to be the technocrat, who designs your life from cradle to grave, well, then you need to elbow him out of the way, hijack his blueprint, and completely dismantle it. What do you think, Mr. Wood?
Amen. I can't add anything beyond that. You know, somebody's listening to this and thinking, oh, I could never run for sheriff, or I could never run for, you know, anything. And you know what? It doesn't matter even if you win. It's better to win than to lose. But let me tell you, just the fact that you get up and make an effort to get a public platform is something. Mm-hmm. Because you have an opportunity to get in front of the press. They've got to listen to you. If you file to run for a certain election, you may not get the press that the leader is going to get, whatever, but you have the right to speak to people because you are a candidate. Mm-hmm. And you can start the discussion locally. Even if you don't win, you can get the discussion started and build a base, if you will, of people.
Right.
The next time, you might just win. Or maybe somebody else is going to come along that really has the urge to win and, you know, that can really do it, and they might do it. But qualifications is not the issue at all. You don't have to be qualified in your own mind.
You're right. You're right. And, Mr. Wood, I would like to add, humbly like to add that, you know, we tend to think that because these technocrats operate from a very high academic perch, that they have PhDs and master's degree, and they have all of these very intelligent and very thoughtful and very well-spoken thought leaders. Understand, and I would like to maybe communicate this and see if you agree or not, a lot of these very, very aggressive, long-range planners who are the technocrats, many, many times at the state, county, and city level, hire flunkies. They hire or they encourage operatives. An operative, all an operative does is carry out instructions. They don't have much intellect. They're more like soldiers or zombies. And so please understand, at the local level, you've got people in power who really aren't that smart. They have the power to say yes and rubber stamp, say, an Agenda 21. They have the power to rubber stamp some international standard coming out of the UN or some recommendation coming out of some EU council. The real object here is to think of yourself as not having to be smart enough to outwit them. All you have to do is be smart enough to get elected and say no. Be an obstructionist to this plan. Get in their way. All you have to do is wave your hand and say no. You don't have to give a speech. All you have to do is say no. We're not implementing this in this county.
Great point. Great point.
I'm voting for you, Alex. I'm gonna go like MoveOn.org, and I'm gonna vote in two states at once.
We don't need to be smart to beat these people. All we need to do is get in their way.
Because they're evil, but they're not geniuses, right?
Exactly. And they hire dummies at the local level that say yes. A bunch of yes men and yes women.
Well, hey, Vicky on the chat room says, "Cheers for the caller. He's exactly right." So there's one person that agrees. Vicky agrees wholeheartedly, appears.
Vicky's going to commit voter fraud, too. Go, Vicky.
Well, I hope you concur, Mr. Wood. And with that, I'm not going to hog the call.
Absolutely.
I'm going to let you enjoy your time with other callers. Thank you very much for all your hard work and your courage, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Alex. This is super fun. We should do this more
often.
Great
call.
Yeah.
Great call.
Patrick, you're a genius. This was all your idea. This is so much fun.
Don't blame me.
It's going well. You take the credit now. Hurry.
Well, we've got another caller, Laura from San Luis Obispo's online, too. She has a comment. Laura, are you in there?
Yes. I was listening to one of the callers say about elected officials. That is exactly it. That's what we're doing in this county. We're replacing them one elected official at a time. And if you aren't working local, you're not doing anything, because that's what changes it. One vote on the dais from city council, you've got to reelect city council as well as supervisor, because together the cities and the supervisors work on multiple boards. And that is the power. So if you aren't working on a ground game to elect, whether or not you discuss technocracy with them isn't the point in the beginning. You need to home grow people and support them, not only to get elected and develop a team to do that. You need to then support them after they've been elected by advising them on what those votes mean.
Right. I think, you know, one of the things I see is when people, you know, people are first of all, very apprehensive about run for public office.
As well they should be, because it's kind of a pain.
Well, that and I think the public tends to go after these people to get elected. So, you know, I agree. I think we need to encourage people to run for public office. But when they win, you got to support them. You can't nitpick every little thing and then, you know, threaten to throw them out. That's, you know, everybody, I think, deserves a chance to learn the ropes, and we can't tear them down once they get in there. We got to give them our help.
Yeah, help them, and if they won't take the help, then replace them.
Well, one of the challenges is when you have, we just elected a supervisor, and that supervisor is one person. Think of all the planners, all the staff. They are not on our side. Do you know how many people are against our newly elected? So that's why you have to have a support team that is able to help them through this. You give them 6 months. Because they will change, but you have to support them. I agree.
Great call. We've got to take a really quick break, and then we come back. We'll take more calls. Phone number here is 530-605-4567. You are in the process of joining the National Town Hall on Technocracy. This is something we'd like to do again if you guys really like it. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. All the information is on there, and we'll see you in 2 minutes here at KCNR.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got you.
So just in case the technocrats' new plan was to smile at us, now we already know what they're up to.
Yeah, and I don't dig it.
We've seen through their ruse. Forget the uniforms. It's the smile that gave them away.
You know, one of the suggestions in the chat was we cancel the following show and just keep this going for the next couple hours.
We just do this all day. Yeah. Well, okay, Patrick, whoever that is reading our mind, because Patrick had this great idea. We should do it. Now, don't freak out. I'm going to use the word progressive, but I'm doing it in a good way. To do some sort of like a progressive radio show where we go from channel to channel to channel, and then we just
pick it up.
Yeah, we just keep the dialogue alive.
Transitional.
Transitional. That's good. That's much better. I don't have to use the P word. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so the phone number here for the Town Hall on Technocracy, if you just tuned in, you will have to go to the website and read about it. It is wethepeopleradio.us. Phone number is 530-605-4567, and the chat room has like 30, so almost 40 people in it, so that is rolling right along, and you can join us there, ask questions there, or call. And we've got Vicki on the line. She is from Idaho. Fire away, Vicki.
Hi. Okay. What I wanted to tell everybody is that a lot of the people that are on the other side, they are Marxists. They have been trained in Marxism. And so what people on our side need to do is to practice standing their ground. You know, they don't need to be aggressive, but you know, when these people get in your face, you can't back up. You gotta, you know, stand your ground. And so I just wanted to tell people that they really need to practice doing that. Expect it, and then you won't be surprised with it, and you can deal with it.
So you can't just show up at your local whatever planning commission meeting or city council or board of supervisors and wave your Technocracy Rising book and then expect them to go, oh, okay, it's all bad, we'll stop.
Yeah, no, they're not going to do that, and there are a lot of people that are working on different aspects of the agenda, and they are determined. They are not going to stop.
True.
Unless we make them stop, you know.
Patrick?
Okay.
That's a great point, Vicki.
Thank you
for that. You know, there's two types of people that you run into. Some people are just ignorant. they're just pawns, and they don't really maybe understand the picture. They just got a job. They're doing what they're told. And those kind of people you can build a halfway decent relationship with pretty quickly, and they won't necessarily knife you on the back on the first try. But there's another kind of person that is really dedicated, like Vicky's talking about. It's really dedicated to their cause, and when you push back against them a little bit, they'll turn ugly really fast.
Oh, the name calling is usually the first thing that happens.
That's right. You know, they'll use all kinds of tactics just to put you down. And if you're watching for it, it won't take you long to figure out what kind of person is standing in front of you. If it's one of those, you just got to let them have it. Honestly, it's the only thing you can do, because that's what they're doing to you. They're manipulating you, and you just need to refuse to be manipulated and just give it back to them with both barrels.
Patrick, you know, that reminds me that we had talked about this in another program we did with you, that one of the really big things is people get sucked off into little subgroups like smart meters or even just the concept of Agenda 21, and that becomes their sole focus, and they lose track of the big picture, which is another way to keep people from solving this problem.
Exactly so. And what would happen, for instance, if we really understood the enemy for the first time? What would happen if all the angry mama bears that are chasing after, rightly so, Common Core education standard, and all the people that are up in arms over smart meter, and all the people that are fighting property rights issues, et cetera, what if everybody all of a sudden realized, you know what, we're fighting the same enemy, we better join forces and get after him at the head, rather than just keep fighting down here little skirmishes that we can't win?
You know, that's a great point, Patrick, because one of the things I hear is, they're just throwing stuff at us so fast we can't keep up with it. There's, you know, we can't do anything about it. You're right. We need to focus. We need to attack on one front and move from there. I like that idea.
I think that's why I liked the book so much, was because it showed that it was all part of a giant web. And so if you keep in mind that it's a big web and that some of the pieces that you're looking at might just be literally pieces, that would help a lot. I also am going back through the chat messages. They were going by so fast, I couldn't keep up with them. So I've gone back and I've looked for things that we didn't answer. And one person in the chat room had a suggestion for Jeremy from Redwood City. He wanted you to make contact with Councilman Matt Grocott, who's the outspoken leader against Agenda 21 on the San Carlos City Council. So I don't know if you're in that area or not, but Matt's a great guy, and he's fighting this thing tooth and nail. So that's San Carlos City Council, and the guy's name is Matt Grocott. If you have any other ideas for people in your local area or people who've called in, put them in the chat, and I'm sorry if it doesn't match up exactly with the call, just because of the speed this is going. Anyway, all right, moving on. We have Jack in Crescent Mills, who has...
Yeah, how are you, Aaron?
Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Good.
Cutting down some trees?
Huh?
You cutting down some trees?
Well, we were till Mother Nature shut us down again.
Oh, well, you know,
we got about,
thanks for trying,
4 to 6 inches of snow where we're at.
Well, that's kind of a good reason to, you know, take a little break there. So,
well, I don't feel like slip sliding away over the bank or stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. So what do you have for Mr. Wood?
Well, my idea dealing with some of these public officials and stuff may be involved. I've got a law here that's 880 pages, but it's just a summary. It's called 63CAM.JUR2D. Public Officers and Employee Summary.
Hmm.
And what it basically says, well, I'll read it off just the paragraph here. It's section 247. As expressed otherwise, the powers delegated to a public officer are held in trust for the people and are to the exercise in behalf of the government or all citizens who may need to intervention of the officer. So furthermore, the view has been expressed that all public officers within whatever branch and whatever level of government, whatever be their private vocations, are trustees of the people. And according to labor and under every disability and prohibition imposed upon trustees relative to making a personal financial gain from discharge of their trust. And owes a fiduciary duty to the public. It has been said that fiduciary responsibilities of the public officer cannot be less than those of a private individual. Furthermore, it has been stated that any enterprise undertaken by public official who tends to weaken public confidence, undermine the sense of security for individual rights, is against public policy. Fraud is its elementary common law sense of deceit, and this is one of the meanings that fraud bears, 483 U.S. 372 in the statute.
Hmm. Mr. Wood, what do you think about that?
I think that's interesting. Would that be the basis for issuing a misprisoning of treason, perhaps?
Well, it's a possibility. Let me finish the last paragraph here. See United States versus Dial, 757F2D163,168, 7th Circuit, 1985. Includes the deliberate concealment of material information in setting a fiduciary obligation. A public official is a fiduciary toward the public. If he deliberately conceals material information from them, he is guilty of fraud. McNally versus United States, 483 U.S. 350, 1987.
Good point. I'll tell you what. Why don't you send that document to Aaron? And Aaron,
oh, I will.
And I'll post it.
How about, getting it up on the website?
Yep, I can post it as soon as you send it to me. I'll watch for it.
We'll let people chew on that one.
I like it.
Yeah, and then there's another deal that somebody is taking their hands in. Henry County, Georgia, a guy has filed charges of sedition and treason among others for implementing a government within a government, Agenda 21.
Hmm.
And you can locate this on Scan Retina Resource.
Hmm. Well, if you send me those links, I'll post them. Because there's always people who aren't not sitting there with a pen and paper. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I'll mail it to you. I'm not very good on the computer doing these kind of things. But
okay.
The bottom line is I can send you enough information. This might give you some power over the individuals and our public officers. And then on the federal, there's an oath of office. It's USC 7311, Section 5. And if you change the Constitution, basically you are committing an act of treason. So there's some legal things that people need to look at and start putting pressure on those that get elected.
Right on.
So.
All right, Patrick, you got some comments? Thanks, Jack, for calling in.
Nope, I think it's great.
Okay, bye.
We need to take this information and get it up on the website and let people chew on it. I think it's good. It sounds like it's good stuff. And I have a question here. The question on the chat room. I'm puzzled about this. It's from Katie. She says, in the book, you say how to fight it is with the local area. And she suggests now that, I'm saying that we need to fight it at the head. And isn't that a contradiction? Did I slip somewhere along the way and say something that we need to fight this whole thing from the top down?
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that, but I was doing about 10 things at the same time, so I could have missed it.
Let me just reiterate. I absolutely positively believe that this battle can and must be fought on a local basis by local people and working up the food chain from there. We have very little opportunity to do anything at all from the head down. And that's just the unfortunate way it is. I wish we could, but at this point we can't. And Congress, unfortunately, has been completely neutered by these people, these technocrats, if you will, inside the executive branch. And that's why Obama is not listening to Congress. He's just snubbing his nose at them and doing anything he wants to do. And he's throwing these little firebombs now on a regular basis back to Congress to make sure that Congress is constantly responding to him. You see, he's forcing them to bring the fight to him, so Congress cannot execute any of its agenda that it came in with from the last election. This is a brilliant strategy. It's also absolutely twisted, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's going to happen right in front of our noses, but we can just watch it go by. It's about all we can do. We can't play in that ball. That's way too far above our heads. But we can get a hold of these people on the ground and in our own local communities and stuff and start working them over and work up the food chain.
Well, these regulations are enacted locally. I mean, when you start looking at, and same too with a lot of these public meetings, I mean, they're boring. I'd be the first one to admit that. They're super boring. But when they start talking about grazing regulations, that doesn't affect that many people personally. And so the danger is not very many people show up and they get away with it. If you hear that there's a land use issue and you care about this kind of thing, even if it's not something you're super well versed in, go and listen to the public comment and then make a beeline for people who look like they know what they're doing, sound like they know what they're doing, and ask them how you can help them. I mean, that's, you know, for the folks that want to get involved and really don't know how to get their foot in the door, go to public meetings where these things are being discussed and listen and find out who's on your team. It's not hard to figure out.
Oh, I think that's one of the ways they get away with so much of this is when they do have these public meetings, nobody goes.
There's four people there.
And they end up making decisions that ultimately do affect you. And then we're fighting off our back foot. Gee, when did they do that? I didn't hear them talking about that. You know,
a lot of it isn't noticed well, and some of it sounds really good.
Oh yeah, they sugarcoat it. They make it look like something that's really
this is
going to
help
fun.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, Patrick, what do you think as far as resources? What do you consider really good resources if people want to begin learning about this? I know a lot of our organizations have issues, but. What's a good spot?
I put up a webpage of resources on technocracyrising.com,
nice.
And people can go there. This is just for the show. technocracyrising.com/townhall, spelled town hall, TOWNHALL. And there's some videos. There's some links. Great information can be found at freedomadvocates.org. They're one of the oldest organizations that has been fighting Agenda 21 in this country. Excellent information. There's just a wealth of information there. I mean, I'm talking dozens of videos, dozens of audio clips that have been done over time, dozens and dozens of articles and PDF files and research files and you name it, tons of stuff there. You can't hardly exhaust freedomadvocates.org. So, you know, go to that page anyway, technocracyrising.com/townhall. There's videos I put up there already, and I'll put more stuff up as time goes along. I just wanted to get something up for people to be able to drive a little bit deeper right after the show, for instance.
Right on. Is it okay if I post that on the site?
Absolutely.
Okay. I will put that on there. All right. In the last 2 minutes before the top of the hour, we have another hour with Patrick. So hang with us. For the people that are planning ahead, phone number is 530-605-4567. We will have news until 5 after 1, and then we'll pick it up again and take your calls. Online, it's wethepeopleradio.us. All the info's there. I'll put that town hall link on there that Patrick put with all the resources. I'll get that on there immediately. And what do you have for folks to do in this next 5 minutes, Patrick? What do you want them to go look at?
They could just go and check out that page that I just referred to, technocracyrising.com/townhall. And you know what? They could, if you have Twitter, send out a few tweets while over the break. Tell people to hurry up and dial in. You know,
that is a great idea.
Get on, you know, tweet.
that is honestly, you know, people laugh about it, but honestly, I did a little experiment last week, and I sent out a thing that said, "Hey, we're online with so and so." I don't even remember who we were talking to. And in 18 minutes, we had 20 new people on the website.
Wow.
Yeah, Facebook doesn't do that. So anyway, if you're on Twitter, fire off the – just click on the page. There's we have a Twitter link. So you can do that. So you got 5 minutes to pull that off. We'll be back with Patrick Wood. We're talking about technocracy today, and we want to hear from you. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. And look at that. We're right on time. We should get an award. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding. I had to restart my chat room.
The technocrats hijacked the chat room.
Stinking technocrats. Apparently I'm not a technocrat. Couldn't work my chat room. Oh my gosh.
Couldn't work my chat room.
Couldn't work my chat room. That's the Western version of my chat room problem. All right. You have rejoined We the People Radio. Crazy though we are. We are here with Patrick Wood, hosting a national town hall on technocracy, the first of its kind anywhere, and you've found it here. Imagine that. So let's see, wethepeopleradio.us, that's where kind of all your information is. I posted the link of resources that Mr. Wood has sent us, so that's kind of awesome. That goes right back to his website, technocracyrising.com/townhall, all one word, town hall, I mean. And let's see, what else do we need to tell you? Phone number, 530-605-4567. I'm Aaron. You're being joined by Bill.
Bill.
And our fabulous music is coming from Bob. And
thank you, Aaron.
That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
Are you in or out of the chat room at the moment?
I'm back again.
Oh, okay.
I'm back again. So if I look like I'm a little schizophrenic signing off, signing on, that's why.
Okay.
It just got stuck. Stephanie signed in and put the kibosh on me, and I got stuck.
I'm not seeing you back on my...
Oh, for heaven's sake.
But that's all right.
I'm probably in an orbit of my own, my own technocracy.
It may be, depending on what browser people are using, it may
things
have
happen.
Different response times.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Patrick, I had a couple people before I got booted out here. Deb in Texas had written in here, Catherine and... And I'm not really sure what she's saying, but Catherine and the executives with the UN gave a speech on February 3rd, 2015, and said that they created climate change to break down the middle class and destroy our industrialized nation.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what she said, too. It was really – I read between the lines a little bit more on that. In fact, I just wrote an article on that, posted it on my website, augustforecast.com. The essence of what she said is that the green economy that the United Nations is pushing, which is Agenda 21, clearly, is being driven by the climate change mantra. And they've always said, well, climate change, you know, and sustainable development are all really one of the same, and you know, it's all connected, and we have to do this because of climate change. Well, she let the cat out of the bag and said, no, climate change, the whole thing with climate change is to destroy capitalism on a global basis. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. It's an unbelievable statement that she came out with. And this is what I already surmised in the book. In fact, I think I said it exactly like that, that these two economic systems, technocracy and capitalism, cannot exist in the same space. They are not compatible any way, shape, or form. One will live and one will die. And so she basically just came out and confirmed that, saying, yes, what we're trying to do is we're using climate change to deal with capitalism once and for all. And we're going to kill it. We're going to replace the economic model with something else. That economic model, folks, is technocracy.
And just give people a quick definition, because I know we have a lot of people on here who have read the book, but of course we have people who haven't ever heard of it and just happened to tune in today.
The issue is economics. It's not just politics. They're using the political system to reform the economic system. But the way technocracy was defined in 1938 by the technocrats themselves was this, quote, technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. That almost sounds a little innocuous, but listen, when the engineers and scientists who view themselves as the technocrats, that is, who view themselves as better than everybody else in the world, decide that they and only they can engineer society to make society work correctly, that's when the rest of us are in trouble. Because that sets up a God structure, if you will, where one group of people is saying, well, we're enlightened and we'll tell you what to do and you will like it and you will just do fine because you're not as educated as we are. You're not as enlightened as we are.
Yeah, all of us dummies out here, we're not allowed to think for ourselves.
Very, very comforting to know that there's somebody out there looking out for me.
They're going to hold our little hands.
Yeah.
Lead us into the future. God, how scary is that? They're going to decide. I mean, look at the little things that make people crazy. They're going to decide what size your sodas are, you know, and people go berserk. If you like that, you're going to love the rest of it. Hey, so we have Dick in Lake Havasu. Is that right? Yeah, Lake Havasu City,
yeah.
Arizona.
Right.
Fire away.
Hi. I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're like running around like chickens with our heads cut off, if you really must know.
I've read the book, and I heard Patrick on a John Loeffler interview, Steel on Steel. It was just broadcast yesterday. I downloaded it and listened to it. But I do have a question or maybe a comment, because I teach worldviews. And when I read Technocracy, it is what I've read into it. And maybe this is semantics, but what I read and what it is a tool that's used within the worldview of political correctness as we are transforming into some form of neo-Marxism. But I don't see where technocracy is a total and complete worldview in itself, but a tool of a more comprehensive worldview system. I was just wondering, Patrick, on your thoughts is how it can be identified as a separate worldview by itself.
Yeah, excellent question. I appreciate that. That's worth answering too. It just so happens on the resource webpage, this technocracyrising.com/townhall. There's a PDF, a link to a PDF file that includes the entire text of Brzezinski's, Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. It was written in 1970, and it was the book that kind of, I believe, that kind of endeared David Rockefeller to him and led them together to found or create the Trilateral Commission in 1973. If you read Brzezinski's book, you'll see that he stated very clearly that Marxism and communism were necessary stepping stones to get to the technotronic era. In other words, the end game of societal evolution, and I put that in quotes, was not Marxism or communism, but they were necessary stepping stones to get to the final stage, which he very clearly defined as his technotronic era. So if people could say that Marxism is a worldview, and I wouldn't argue with that necessarily either, then they have to realize that that worldview is going to be replaced with something that more likely lines up with what Brzezinski called his technotronic era. And I will suggest that after you've studied technocracy and you've studied Brzezinski's position as technotronic era, you will conclude, like I did, that they're one and the same. That technocracy and technotronic are really just synonyms that he's using, but he didn't want to use the word technocracy for whatever reason. And so I do believe that technocracy is a worldview, and I believe it's very pervasive if you go to the United Nations and read some of their dogma about the sustainable development and, you know, you see the religious aspects of it as well. It to them at least, not to you and I, but to them it has become a worldview that is above everything else in the world. And they're insistent on impressing that worldview to the entire world. I mean, they're at every corner of the world. You'll find teachings on climate change, on sustainable development, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's everywhere throughout the world right now, thanks to the United Nations.
Right.
So, yes, it is a world
view. That part I understand, but I also see that as part of political correctness, as an element of political correctness.
I think that's a tool. I mean, yeah. I think that that's how they buffalo everybody into not speaking out against it, because it's kind of like the racism charge, you know. There are things you're not allowed to speak the truth because they're going to, you know, they're going to call you, they're going to call us names.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, by shaming, it's to shut you down by shaming you.
Yeah. We had an article. Yeah. There was an article in our local paper last week, and it was regarding a project I've been working on with the Veterans Administration. And it was actually a good article, and it was it's a huge issue. And the first comment online in the online newspaper was that they just couldn't believe that our congressman was worried about veterans, taking care of veterans, when the greatest threat we face is climate change.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, good God, how did you get here from there? I mean, or there from here? You know what I mean?
It's and then we have a couple others that are just as idiotic about terrorism, or that climate change is much scarier and worse than terrorism.
Yeah, there's that,
Islamic too. Islamic terrorism. Although they won't say Islamic terrorism, but that's exactly what it is. There's a big push on this environmental.
You better adopt it, or you're just a, you know, what do they call us? Are we climate deniers? That doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah. Climate change deniers.
Climate change
deniers. Another form of shaming for speaking out.
I love being a climate change denier.
You're just a hater.
All the climate change deniers say... Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, hey, thanks a million zillion. Did we handle your idea?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a further look at Brzezinski's thing there and see how it can be segregated as a complete or separate worldview.
Exactly. But the book is online. It's somebody scanned it along the way, I guess, but I just put a link to it on that resource page.
And that was your website was which one? Because I'm on technocracywriting.com.
Then you have to do a /townhall.
Okay.
There is no menu link to this page. It's private for people that are on this town hall right now.
Okay, got it.
It's secret. Don't tell anybody.
Sure.
Don't tell anybody, but I posted it on the We the People page.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Same to you, folks. Thanks.
And now we have Dr. Ellen in Ocala, Florida. Sunny Florida. You're probably doing the same thing we are, running around in short sleeves while the rest of the world freezes.
That's right.
Hey, there we go. Okay, we can hardly hear you.
Okay.
Hey, you're back.
Okay, I'm back. I have a comment for Patrick.
Okay, turn your radio down.
Well, maybe that's it.
Yeah, I got it. I turned it down.
There we go. All right.
Okay.
Fire away.
Patrick, I you and I have talked over time. I'm both a psychologist and a systems theorist, and I have been for 30 or more years. And I want to raise a few issues about what the technocracy guys are doing. And they all fit together very well. They're, you know, you want to look at somebody like Obama. He's a social engineer, I mean, really. And many people are in these academic circles. And they're using semantics to cause confusion. You know, you'll hear in green language, this is great, but we know when we hear it, that it isn't that great. But how can it not be? I mean, they are so authoritative when they say it. They are using semantics, linguistics, persuasiveness, and manipulation to get us to believe things that we really wouldn't if they weren't doing that to us. So what you want to do is step back and do a little reading on what is called cognitive dissonance, D-I-S-S-O-N-A-N-C-E. It is the use of persuasion to create conflict in the listener, who then is forced to make a decision that they wouldn't otherwise make. that is part of chaos or the use of chaos to then confuse us even more. So the confusion is an absolute basis to the climate change, to the green movement, to, in my opinion, to technocracy. It is unstabilizing listeners so that they're not sure what to do next. You know, you think of all this winter with all the cold, and they say, oh, it's climate change. You know, it is whatever. Well, it isn't. But when they say it so authoritatively, you know, we really, because we, after all, are not so educated, then we get very confused and we kind of stop in our tracks and we don't know quite what to do next. Okay, that said, I just want you to think in terms of social engineering, semantics, the use of manipulation, and a very important term in psychology called cognitive dissonance. Systems theory is the opposite of chaos. And you have in your book, on page 130 and forward, quite an interesting discussion of systems theory. But it's been my expertise for a great many years, and I can tell you that how they're using it to define reflexive law and other things is extremely academic and nonsensical. It actually doesn't make sense. Systems theory is a very important way of looking at living systems, from cells to organisms to our own human makeup, etc. But it's not breakdownable to the law or to anything that is not a living system. They just want us to think that. And so when somebody in academics tries to tell us, system theory and reflexive law, etc., they're making it up, a lot of it, and they are not systems theorists. They don't know what they're talking about. And I plan to write a review of your book about the systems theory aspect of it, and I just haven't gotten there yet, Patrick, but I plan to. So that's my comment.
That's a good point, Alan. And I like, I would liken that to the use of pseudoscience to prove their point with global warming and
absolutely
sustainable development,
same,
or whatever.
Same ball game.
Same concept, throwing words around that really, they're not really adhering to them, and they're making people think they're more legitimate than they really are.
That's exactly right.
That's good. Write that review, babe. I like it.
Okay, I will.
make your point. That's good. Throw it out there.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Ellen. And there was someone in the chat room had brought up the Delphi technique, and you know that's something that we shouldn't gloss over, because that really that is the tool of the public meetings to separate everybody and also to make them feel dumb. You know, they get them in these little tiny groups. It's the idea of divide and conquer, I guess, regardless of how they do it, with, you know, stupid magic markers and, you know, and bring out all the little poster boards and all this stuff. And instead
and the crayons.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, it just makes me go crazy. But it's a big deal, and that is really a tool to separate us from each other. Patrick, you have any thoughts on that besides just, you know, refuse to get in the little groups?
No, we need to just recognize when they use these techniques at us, they can be derailed pretty easily. They have no defense. Once you figure out what the game is, they have no ability to correct themselves. If you throw a monkey wrench in, you blow the whole meeting up. There's a good example of that in the video I posted on our resource page. It was from the Globalization of California conference that we did last year in the Bay Area. And there was one of those videos in particular by Heather Goss was absolutely spectacular, where she took on, got videos of her taking on people in these local town hall or town meetings, you know, that they have where the Delphi technique was used against her. And she turned them upside down. You just want to clap after you listen to this video. You say, right on.
Well, we've actually become pretty effective at derailing the Delphi meetings. And it's really funny because they all have a very strict plan they go by. But as soon as you start to derail them, that's not in a handbook. They don't know how to handle that. And, and the next thing you know, the whole thing's just spinning out of control. It's actually pretty funny to watch.
Well, this needs to be baseline training for anybody who would start going to the meetings. There's plenty of stuff online. You mentioned you have something on WeThePeopleRadio.us. There's other material as well available on freedomadvocates.org. And so, yeah, listen to some of this stuff, find out what it's all about, and make that part of your toolkit. When you go out there, you'll recognize it. When you get into these meetings, you'll see it. When you see it coming at you, you'll know exactly what to do about it.
Yeah, because in our archives, we have a show quite a while back with Beverly Ekman, and that was on the Delphi technique. I forget the name of it, but it's Ekman, Beverly Ekman, and that's listed down in the archives. We have Judy in Nevada City. She has a question for you.
Oh, hi there, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, for Patrick, one of the things you mentioned in the book a couple of times is Brzezinski stating the need for a national constitutional convention to reexamine our nation's formal institutional framework, that is our constitution, because it isn't compatible with technocracy.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of conservatives against Agenda 21, against Obamacare and Common Core, et cetera, who are following these talking head conservatives off a cliff, as far as I'm concerned, working for an Article 5 convention. They insist that Article 5 is the answer to everything, the only answer. And this can easily lead to throwing out our Constitution altogether. Any convention called will have unlimited authority granted under the Declaration of Independence, including rewriting the Constitution. And it doesn't necessarily include ratification by three-quarters of the states like they claim. How would you convince these grassroots good people who should easily grasp the concept of technocracy, see that they're falling into the hands of those promoting technocracy with their Article 5 solution?
Well, you know, Judy, that's a good question, a good point. The first thing they can do, of course, is to read my book, Technocracy Rising. It'll explain it to them. But conservatives and liberals as well, Democrats as well, I should make it say at this point, this is not a partisan issue at all. There are as many good Americans on the Democrat side as there are on the Republican side. They're not, you know, everybody is not somebody you just start throwing rocks at because they have a D or an R in front of their name or behind it. But we need to make a call to Americans in general to analyze these things from what's good for America point of view. And when you see Brzezinski, for instance, who by the way, was a Democrat, and Rockefeller was a Republican, that tells you something right there. When you see the people like Brzezinski calling for a constitutional convention, people today better be careful what they wish for. Because the sharks are circling, and if you don't know who they are and you don't see them, you'll never see the danger. You will not sense the danger of trying to pull this kind of thing off. But I'll tell you what, if you look back in history, say over the last 40 years, you will find people like Brzezinski, like Henry Kissinger, like other academics, they have been calling for a constitutional convention in order to erase the Constitution from the face of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are still out there. And anybody that thinks, oh, you know, they don't have anything to say about this, they just got rocks in their head, and they need to have an attitude adjustment. And I'll tell you what, if you're the one to give them an attitude adjustment, Judy, you just need to go out and smack them and say, listen to me. This is wrong. These people are going to get a hold of this convention, and they're going to shove it into the ground, and they're going to use it to once and for all kill the United States Constitution. Period.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we had Art Thompson from, he's the CEO of the John Birch Society, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we asked him about that, and he said, you know, I thought his point was really pretty basic. He said, you know, if they're not following the Constitution now, and that's the complaint and the reason for calling a constitutional convention, what makes you think they're going to follow it
exactly
once they get to the constitutional convention?
And
it was like, oh, okay, well, that was easy. we had him on for a whole hour, and then we didn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, I've heard that argument posed to the pro side of the ConCon, and they actually say, well, there's two constitutions out there.
Oh, brother, and we've got to go through that
whole
thing.
Yeah, we don't want them following that. Whereas I do believe the ultimate argument is that any convention called, well, Article 5 isn't necessarily the only way to change the Constitution. It's under the Declaration of Independence, read the second paragraph, allows the people to do that. And any convention called could morph into that in an instant because they're a convention of the people and they have the authority to change the Constitution. Yeah. And this is why the radical left is on it with the right, who the reason I mentioned conservatives is so maddening because they see these issues, yet they're being led by lies that say that a convention can be limited, and that's not the case.
I think that's an excellent point.
Yes, it is, and that's a good thing to try and persuade people as they go along. There's nothing wrong with our Constitution the way it is if people just agree to follow it. It worked for 250 years. It'll work for another 250 years.
Yeah, it's kind of like immigration. They want to reform it. It's like, hey, how about we follow our own laws for a while and see if we like them?
I know. Yeah, we wouldn't know that, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
They haven't followed it so long. Who would know if we like them?
Thanks a lot, Judy. We appreciate all your hard work. Judy does a ton of teaching on Agenda 21.
Oh, I so much appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Judy.
Great, Judy.
We have Sarah in Naples, Idaho, on the line, and she has a comment for Patrick. Sarah, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you for writing your book. I just learned a lot from it, and it cleared up a lot of issues that I didn't understand fully. And the last lady who brought up, I mean the lady before last, who brought up the comments about systems theory.
Yes.
Remind me of what I have been reading and seeing on a video online and reading in a book called In a Dark Wood, The Fight Over the Forest in the Mist of Nature by Alston Chase. He's a philosopher out of Montana and he's got an outdoor school. And cybernetics was an interesting thing, and I think it's related to systems theory, because when they first came out with the computer age, they thought that they could build a model based on nature, a model for societal organization. Mm-hmm. And they built this model, but they used simulated data. They didn't actually go out and gather data from the natural world. And they came up with certain theories, and then later on some people started collecting data and found out as they collected this data that they moved farther and farther away from their model. But evidently the Club of Rome and these people are still using that model even though it's defunct. So they've got this whole system built on it.
On falsified data.
Yeah, and they refuse, you know, I mean, first of all, it's an absurd philosophy. I mean, Alston Chase shows where the philosophy is flawed in the first place. But nevertheless, it just reminded me of what she was saying about the system theory, and if anybody gets a chance, they ought to read his book and look for those videos.
Yeah.
Because it explains it with great clarity what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for your comments, Sarah. This brings up just kind of a very related thought about falsified data, that is pseudoscience, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The entire movement that we're fighting, with technocracy, from Agenda 21 all the way down through Common Core, et cetera, is riddled with falsified data. It's
exactly.
riddled with wrong, with bad assumptions about, you know, how things are in the first place, and therefore this is what we need to correct. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist, usually, to figure out where the weak points are in their arguments. But you could, at this point, you can almost expect that anybody making a case for any of this kind of stuff on a local basis is doing so based on false data in the first place. That's
right.
a weakness that we need to attack and say,
but they have
your assumptions are wrong.
Such a good propaganda machine. I am a certified teacher. And last year, I'm retired. I went back to work for 8 months. I had to fight propaganda almost every day because their propaganda machine is very good.
Yes. So we need to have our ducks lined up in a row. We need to know what is true, and we need to know what they're saying, at least the basis of what they're saying, where
exactly.
it's false, and be ready to verbalize that when called on.
Right.
That's a very good point. That's a very good part of personal preparation for a local battle.
Yeah, so I really recommend this book by Alston Chase, In a Dark Wood, The Fight Over the Forest and the Myths of Nature, because he goes into the Hegelian philosophy and shows how it subverts the parts to the whole. And in other words, the people are subverted, the individual is subverted to the whole social system.
Good. Perhaps you could send a link to that to
Aaron.
Oh, yes,
Aaron. Sure. Okay, well, anyway, thank you for listening to my comment.
Thanks a million, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Keep up the good work.
Right. Yeah, shoot me a link to that, and I'll put it online. The email is Aaron, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us.
Wethepeopleradio.us.
Yep. And for folks that are, and actually it's right on the page. If you look on the left-hand side, you can just click on that and use that link. For people who are trying to look at these new links that I'm posting, you will probably have to open your open that page again. If you refresh it and the links don't pop up, it's saving some cookies, and you may have to refresh it a few times. Sometimes that happens. Or view the site in a different browser. That'll obviously short-circuit the cookie problem. Listen to all that technology we're talking about.
Making me hungry.
I know.
Talk about cookies.
Yeah, see, they're also trying to, you know, get us off our good foods. Hey, no, don't take a break. Bob says take a break. Now he says don't take a break. Okay, so I'm changing gears. We need to let people know the phone number because it's been a while since we did that. It's 530-605-4567. The website is wethepeopleradio.us. We are speaking with Patrick Wood. This is our national town hall on technocracy. And we have a whole bunch of people who have read the book, Technocracy Rising. If you have not, you got to get it. It's a must read. It's fast. It's easy. It's cheap. It's inexpensive. Sorry, Patrick. I didn't mean to call your book cheap. It's inexpensive. I forgot. Cheap's a bad word.
That was a cheap shot.
Yeah, really.
Dang.
It's available on Amazon.com, by the way, as well as on TechnocracyRising.com.
Exactly.
And there's a Kindle version. If somebody doesn't like books anymore, they want to see it on their iPad or their Kindle reader, whatever, there's a Kindle version as well. It's a little bit cheaper.
Nice. So there you have it. You have a lot of choices. We're going to come right back and finish off the top of the hour with our guest, Patrick Wood. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped. Give a damn's busted.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile isn't a making. We gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices. Giving up all around me.
Fight the power.
Fight power.
Oh, they were onto something way back then. We'll just repurpose it.
They were writing music for us today.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They knew it'd come back.
We will just repurpose it and wear less bell-bottomy pants.
Hey, we've got another caller online.
Right on.
Yeah, we got Brenda from one of my favorite little towns, Grass Valley, California. Brenda, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Shoot.
I only have one question. What happened to the passionate people from the 1960s? Did we all taper down with Tim O'Leary and music doctrination?
We're trying to bring them back with our music.
We're trying to revive them with the music we have. I don't know. What do you think, Patrick? Did they all just go over to the dark side? Because, I mean, it seems like all the Hillary and all these guys, there's tons of...
I think they got swallowed up by corporate America. They
pictures of these
people.
They
gave up the fight.
Really? What do you think?
I think that some of us bought into the man.
Yeah.
Love you, Brenda.
If drugs didn't do it, the corporate world did.
I believe there's still some out there, and I believe that they've raised another generation of passionates.
Oh, I definitely think there's another generation coming up, because this has just reached that point where so many people are seeing it and wondering what the heck is going on and getting involved and listening to guys like Patrick and want to do something to change it for the better.
Well, and let people know what's going on, because a lot of people are watching this. They know it's not quite right, but they're not sure what they're looking at, and they're not sure it's bad. That's the interesting part. A lot of people, because I've mentioned this to folks, you know, hey, have you ever heard of technocracy? And they typically say no, because they think I said technology. And if you ask them what they think it is, they think it's all about technology, for starters. And, yeah, okay, there's a component. But when you talk about it being our society run by experts, a lot of people say, gosh, well, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I can just concentrate on my little world and let the experts run.
Let the experts
stuff.
Run it, yeah. With their fake science and everything.
Next thing you know, you got to sort your garbage. You got to put the cans in one can and the papers in another. And if you don't do it right, they won't pick it up. And
you get a mean letter from the garbage man, which is why I won't use the recycling bin.
That's micromanaging.
I just draw the line when the garbage man leaves me a mean note that I didn't throw my garbage out correctly.
Yeah, this is a good point. A good time to make the point that we're not against engineers and scientists necessarily at all.
No.
I would say 90%+ of every engineer and scientist I ever knew is a good person. You know, they're most of them are level-headed. They're able to think. They're committed to their science, whatever it is, or their discipline. But the small majority of people who are into technocracy using science in a wrong way to try and engineer society in a way it was never intended to be engineered in the first place, this is wrong. It's these people that we're sick of. And the trickle-down effect has brought them all the way down to our local communities. It's not just at the top level anymore. It's all the way up and down the line, all the way down to the local boards, the city councils, the zoning, planning commissions. It's just spread everywhere. These are the people that we need to get after and resist, because they're killing us. They're absolutely killing our country. And if the United Nations has its way, its stated way, it intends to do nothing less than destroy capitalism altogether so that their green economy can live on. And, folks, I'll tell you, if you thought there was problems with capitalism along the way, you ain't seen nothing yet. If capitalism dies at the hands of these murderers, what they're going to replace it with will absolutely just turn the human race upside down on this planet.
No, you're absolutely right, Patrick. You know, if the truth were known, every one of these countries would want to be just like the United States. They'd want to have the freedoms and the rights that we have, but they can't. So they're going to tear us down to their level. Then we'll all be the same, and we'll have a big kumbaya party. Hey, we got Karen on the line.
Hold on. Before we do that, and before this thing scrolls away too far, Robert had a really good point on the chat room. He does a lot of the videos for Dr. Kaufman, and he remembered one of his quotes. He had said that the Republic was supposed to be inefficient because efficiency only means that you have fewer rights.
Amen.
There's a thought for you. Okay, sorry,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Back to the phones.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brenda, for calling.
We have Karen in Mesa, Arizona with a question. Karen, you're on.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for the book and for the show today. On page 89 of your book, you talk about Agenda 21 being implemented through regional governments. And I wonder if you could just talk about regional government, maybe a little history. Are there any success stories of people fighting it through regional government? And I'm not sure, because they're unelected and they're unaccountable, I'm not sure why they're going to listen to us if we try to talk to them.
Well, that's a good point. The Council on, again, I got an echo here somewhere. Maybe somebody's microphone's on. The councils of governments are spread all over America right now. This is part of Bill Clinton's program back in the 90s called Reinventing Government. And these regional entities have been established in every state to take control over the cities and the counties within their so-called jurisdiction. There's no constitutional basis for these organizations to be there. And most of the cities and organizations that are being subsumed by these groups have no idea that they are being subsumed. So there needs to be awareness, number one, of the people involved in it and the people in those communities, that these so-called COG organizations, as councils, council of governments, these COG organizations need to be fought tooth and nail and driven out of our communities. There's not, in any given community, town, city, whatever, historically, there's been nothing that those cities and communities and so on could not solve by themselves with their own people, and that's what it's all about, their own people in those communities. We don't need to have multiple layers of Soviet-style government passing down regulations from some place up in the bowels of Washington, implementing these policies on us down here at a local basis. And most of the time, they don't even know. And a good example of that, the biggest example right now, is in the Bay Area with the so-called Association of Bay Area Governments, called ABAG. That probably is the largest and strongest COG in the country right now. And they have taken control over the entire area now with policies that the people had no idea were being implemented. And all of a sudden, there they are. They just show up and they say, well, I guess we better do what they say. Well, the thing is, really, if the public gets onto it, they don't need to do what they say. And they can stop them cold in their tracks if they get enough people to resist it.
And are you aware of any situations where we've been successful in stopping them in their tracks?
You know, I'm going to say right now, personally, I am not. My guess is that Michael Shaw, who is the founder of freedomadvocates.org, would have a very definitive answer on that. I really don't right now. My guess is there are some success stories. I know they're limited, and we haven't had a success story yet in the Bay Area, up in San Francisco area. We hope, but not yet.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll get an answer, though, and I'll put it on the website and get back to you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Karen.
Good question.
Okay, so we
I
are...
I wasn't prepared for that.
No worries. Well, we're in our last, six, 7 minutes here, and we have...
It's Ron from Spokane.
Right on.
Fire away, Ron.
Yeah, Patrick, are you aware of the proprietary nature of government? And this is what I'm getting at. This is a shortcut to just about everything. And that is that, look at the authority. Read your city's charter. Read your county's charter. Read carefully what it says their boundaries are. It'll say their boundaries are limited to such and such area within the...
Oops. Something bad happened.
Limits. Go ahead.
Say that last part again. We had. Something.
I say, if you read your charter of your city or county, you're going to see it says they have jurisdiction over the territory within the limits, okay, the outer limits, the external limits of the county or city. Territory means nothing more than land which you have jurisdiction over. What I'm getting at is they have no jurisdiction other than proprietorial. Just like King George, when he granted the Northwest territory to the USA, the USA had entire ownership of that, of those future six states. But as soon as they granted away land through land patent, those land patents, if you read them carefully, you'll see that they have no jurisdiction over any land patented land. And what I'd like to, I guess, give a plug for where I learned about this. I've been studying adult law for about 30 years now. I'm an architect. And look at the Organic Laws Institute. It's a California former attorney from, he's from California, he still lives in California. It's called the Organic Laws Institute. This is the, I would say, the linchpin to break all this stuff up, because without authority, they have no authority. And if you, it's all a game. Take a look at the authority, and that you'll read it and find out they have no authority.
Tell us the name of that again one more time.
Okay, Organic Laws Institute.
Organic Laws Institute, because somebody's going to ask me.
It's Eduardo Rivera. He had a PhD in law from UCLA back in 1970, I believe. He's retired. But read that. He also has been interviewed on various shows. I've been following this guy for about 2 years now, and also a student that he has, a student that really... really is a good example of what you can do if you know what the limits are. You know, when I was back in college, we always said, question authority. Well, I've said that, but I've never really looked at it. And I'll bet you 1 out of 1,000 people have read their city charter or their county charter. They're going to find out that that city or county has no authority without, that's the magic word, without, that means outside of their property. Sounds crazy, but that's what it is.
Understood. That's a good point.
Look it up. This is the magic way to get out. This is the what I would call the silver bullet. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
See,
that's why we're doing this. Because if we put everybody's head together, everybody has information out there. We just don't always have the ability to share it with each other.
If we say nothing else about today's program, Town Hall, Aaron, I think it is that people have passion about this, don't they?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, this is a great way to have a group discussion.
Hey, we've got Deb in Texas on the line.
Yay! We've been watching her posts all morning. Afternoon. Sorry, I keep forgetting we're not a morning show. It's dark in here or something. I don't know. What a knucklehead. Hi, Deb.
Hi. there was a lady, I think, that was asking Patrick whether anybody's been successful in taking out the cog or anything of that Agenda 21 process out of their city. And I had a man call me from Irving, Texas. They call me the Connect the Dots lady.
what a great name.
He called me to ask me what he should do to get the ICLEI contract out of his city, because I'd done a speech at a group that I belong to that he was present. So he called me, and I said, okay, you need to be very succinct, you need to be very respectful, and you need to talk with them in a way that, because you may know it, they may not know it. And I said, there will be several that will know about the contract on the city council, and there will be several that will not know. You address it to the ones who do not know, and the ones who do know will shrink. Well, that's what happened. And the new mayor didn't know anything about it. She asked him if they could go behind closed doors. They did for 7 minutes. When they came out, she was so angry. She told him, I want to thank you from the citizens of the city of Irving, Texas, for what you have done for us tonight. They got rid of their ICLEI contract. They got out of that cog.
God, that's awesome.
And I had an online email fight with a young woman from NetCog, and I told her, I said, dear, if you know what they are doing, then you are criminally culpable in the fraud that they are perpetrating. And being an NGO, they do not have legal authority to do anything to anyone about anything.
That is,
dynamite point.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, because it's criminal fraud what they're doing. And when they take money from the voters that are unwittingly paying a water bill or an electric bill, or they put out a bond issue, that is a way for them to create debt within the city, to take the money from the people, put it in a special account that they get from the UN Agenda 21 membership, where they and only they can access. And I've got so much information, it would boggle your mind.
Okay, would you please email it to me? My email's on the site. And we're in the last 15 seconds here. I wanted to thank Patrick for doing this and for writing Technocracy Rising, because obviously we love it and we needed it.
Thank you, everybody who joined in, because that's what made this experiment fantastic. Wanted to let people know we have Frank Gaffney from the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. next week. We'll be talking about the Islamic terrorism issue with a real expert. He's going to be on for the full 2 hours, so don't miss that. The archive of the show will be up shortly. And thank you, everybody, for joining in. This was fabulous. Thanks, Patrick.
You're entirely welcome. It's been great.
We'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Do it again.